This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app and streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980, where you see the beautiful face of television's Eric Flack, which must mean there's something going on with the RFK site. Flack, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up? The only person who calls me beautiful is my mom. My girlfriend occasionally after I'm nice to her. But that's
well, what a trio of company I'm now in.
Exactly.
So, WUSA9's Eric Flack here. So last night, Mayor Bowser just kind of unannounced rolls out her plans for the RFK site. Like, how did this meeting come together? What was it supposed to be initially? And let's start there. Like, you know, you were at this meeting. Like, what were you expecting? And then what happened?
Well, I was walking into it thinking it was the Ward 7 council member, Wendell Felder, who's newly elected in November. And I thought this was going to be, it was kind of billed as a community meeting, public meeting about the future of the RFK site. But it quickly became clear once I got there that this was a mayor Bowser production. She was there. Events DC was there. Her economic team was there. And while the council member there in Ward 7, this meeting happening at Eastern Senior High School in the shadows of RFK, really just blocks from RFK, while he did address the crowd of about 500 community residents who really packed that auditorium, it was really Mayor Bowser who really spoke the most and fielded the most questions. She had a pre-prepared PowerPoint slide deck where she kind of went through her argument of how we got to this point, how RFK, the history of RFK, the history of the site, how it, of course, ended up in bad DC's hands, and the significance of the site and where she sees the value of bringing the Commanders and building a stadium there for the city moving forward. So she kind of, to me, it felt like a soft launch for the series of community meetings she's going to have as she floats an idea. Of course, she has no details as far as the financials, at least publicly, didn't release on, you know, financially what she's thinking, or, you know, when she talks about we can do it all because people have concerns about, you know, having retail, having housing, having green space, preserving, you know, fields for kids. You know, she says we can do it all. She didn't really provide any of those details. It was very much a 10,000 foot kind of like look at her reasoning and rationale for why she's going to pitch this Commander's return to RFK. But this was her first chance to kind of like lay it out there for the public, for reporters like me. And then she spent about an hour taking questions. So I think this was kind of a foreshadowing of a very passionate debate that we're going to have moving forward about not just the RFK site and the potential for a football stadium there, but really how much taxpayer money is going to be used for it and whether or not that's the right thing for DC.
So that was kind of the big breaking news, or the biggest news item, probably biggest headline, maybe is the best way to put that, out of that, this, Eric, is that she, for the first time, was like, yep, there's going to be some taxpayer money involved. What is the range of options there in terms of how much and where that money comes from? You know, in terms of like, is it an extra sales tax? Is it a property thing? Like, there's a million different ways we can be taxed. And boy, do they think of new ones every single day. So, like, what kind of range of options are we potentially looking at here, and how is that received in the room?
Hoffman, they're very creative that way with how they tax us. There's going to be a couple of key differentiations. They're going to pay. She's going to certainly said clear cut. A resident said, can you commit here and now to not having any sort of a public subsidy, i.e. taxpayer money, for a stadium? Without hesitation, the mayor said no. She didn't explain herself. She didn't rationalize it. She didn't qualify. She said no. So for the first time, I think that was the mayor laying down the gauntlet in with her voters and saying, I am going to advocate for taxpayer money to go to this stadium. Now, one key distinction, especially in Washington, D.C., is that money going to go to the infrastructure, the things D.C. owns, which is the roads and the, you know, the metro,
the stuff around the stadium that makes it worth going to.
Yeah, that, how you get in and out, the fields, that sort of thing, traffic lights. Is it going to be an investment into that? Or is the investment going to go beyond that? Because the investment into the infrastructure, which would come out of the capital budget, is kind of, you know, a pot of money that's already there. And it can be a very sizable number if she's talking about redoing the infrastructure around 177 acres around the RFK site. If she's going to go, that's an idea that at least, you know, has a pretty good chance of getting through DC Council, depending on what the figure is, because it's just a much more palatable way to invest in a stadium, because you're basically improving things. The argument goes that you would always already have to improve anyway, which is right, your roads and sidewalks and so forth. If the investment goes beyond the infrastructure, i.e. money for the building, money for the stadium, that's where things are going to get more tricky. And that's where she's really, really going to face potential pushback from DC council members. DC council chairman Phil Mendelson, who has long advocated against taxpayer money for a football stadium, even though he supported the money, the $500 million plus for Capital One Arena renovations, even mentioned to, you know, when he addressed, and this is hours after the mayor came out with kind of her plan, that you know, to him, investing in the infrastructure is a little bit different than, you know, giving the billionaire Josh Harris, you know, money for a stadium, money to make his $6 billion investment even more valuable. So we don't really know. The infrastructure piece comes out of the capital budget, the same roads and bridges and stuff that we're doing all around the city. We just take all those like nickels and dimes and push them all in the RFK pile. Right. If it's going to be more than that, that's when you're talking about having to either take from the general fund, which there's no money in the general fund because that's like paying cops and teachers and books and stuff like that. Or you're coming up with a new revenue source. And that's when you're talking about either a tax increase, or the idea has been floated, certainly, or theorized among, you know, reporters like me who have been covering this on the beat. The baseball tax, which paid for Nats Park, is set to sunset. It's set to end. It's a tax on businesses. You could conceivably extend that tax on businesses, and all of a sudden you have a new pot of money to just shift over to RFK, or whatever replaces RFK.
Right, and or a football tax for any new businesses that open in that area, et cetera. But then that's then, you have to take out, I'm sure, a loan, which I'm sure they're going to do anyway. But then it gets into like really nitty gritty details of financing things. But you ultimately take out a loan, repay it with the tax, et cetera. Speaking of the baseball tax and Navy Yard, as Eric Flack, WSA9, with us here on the Hoffman Show. Mayor Bowser in the presentation and then ultimately what they put up on the website. First of all, may I be petty for a moment?
Sure.
Can I just point out something that I might be the only person that noticed this, but if we're going to trust you to do a multi-billion dollar project and we're going to be detail oriented and we're going to consult experts and we're going to do, can you use the Washington Spirit logo that hasn't been retired for 2 years? The current Washington Spirit logo is black and white. It has been that way for 2 years. The red, white, and blue logo has not been in use for a long time. And that's the one that the mayor's office put on the map. So to whoever did that, I hope you're watching, and I hope you change that on the website immediately.
I think that's probably Events DC. I mean, I would have to guess. I mean, that those types of things, I'm almost sure it's Events DC. And those Events are the DC. Little things. Yeah. I mean, those are the little things that matter that are big things, but...
If you just, yeah, right, it's just to build trust and be like, hey, we can trust you with being responsible. Like, you don't overlook things like using a logo. I mean, there's, I think, more controversial logos that they could use, but I don't want to open that can of worms in this conversation. The point is, Eric.
It's a different podcast.
Yes, indeed. Different podcast, different radio show, different everything. They talk about Navy Yard in this, and I think one of the big questions around this RFK site is, can they, in this multi-use system that they want to deploy, is there going to be affordable housing? And if Navy Yard is the blueprint, the answer is no. Because if you've been apartment shopping in Navy Yard, you know the word affordable isn't really in there unless you have a very, very large income. So how are they planning on selling this? And was this something that, in terms of the housing side of this and you know, trying to be there for the community and the city that needs that desperately, and how was that addressed in the room last night?
So she was asked about affordable housing. This plan that she rolled out did not have details. It was long on concepts and high ideals and short on details and nitty gritty. The way affordable housing works typically in DC is that developers get a tax break to build housing in these areas, and they are required to reserve X amount of units to be affordable, truly affordable.
So in other words, there are units in the same building that are the full price, if you will. And then there are some that if you presumably meet, and I actually, we were joking before we got on here about radio money. Buddy, when I was working in Dallas, I was well below the affordable housing line. My first job down there in Dallas, and I actually had a subsidized apartment in a building like that. So I presume that there's then a number in terms of either individual or household income where you receive a lower price on that same unit.
That's right. But here's the catch, and here's what we're seeing in Navy Yard now, is that the developer is only required to keep those affordable units for X amount of time. And that eventually you can sunset out of that to where all the units eventually are able to be priced at market rate. And that is, so they will be affordable for a while. But if you look at, you know, what's happening in Navy Yard now, Nats Park is 15, 16 years old, something like that. You know, I think it's old, you know, check me on that. And that's about, you know, that's about the age at which, you know, some of these units kind of come off and that affordable housing kind of goes away. And so, yeah, there's going to be affordable housing. There really will be. I guarantee you. Long term, though, the economic development, as we've seen in Navy Yard, ultimately wins out. And the long term, over the, you know, time space continuum, you end up in that, you know, gentrification space where, you know, ultimately it's all high priced housing, all very expensive units. And that's what we're seeing in Navy Yard. And, you know, some would argue that's eventually what we're going to see in you know, the RFK site if in fact this development takes place. And keep in mind, it's just going to be, you know, there's not that much room. I mean, regardless of how much housing they build, there's not that much room. I mean, there is going to be a stadium there. I think she said the stadium, first time I've heard this, is like 23, 25 acres. It's 177 acres. So there's land to do other stuff, you know. But we're still, you know, still yet to be seen on what the breakdown is going to be and how that promise is going to be fulfilled.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, Eric Flack, WSA9 with us. And I did double check since you asked. Nats opened Nats Park in 2008. So we're talking about 17 years ago at this point. We're actually almost right to that day. It was March 22nd of 2008 that the GW baseball team actually played the first game at Nats Park before the Nationals ultimately opened later that month with an exhibition against the Orioles. So, as you're talking to Eric about this RFK site and the latest, was there anybody from the Commanders there, or are they going to try to hang out in the background as long as possible and keep their hands clean, at least publicly? That way, if something does blow up and they wind up in Maryland or whatever, they just don't want to have to deal with it until like it's done.
Great question. There was nobody from the Commanders there. It felt a little bit early because there's no deal in place. My understanding is that it's likely the Commanders will also be holding meetings eventually when they're ready. The mayor indicated that this was the first of a number of public meetings she was going to have on the issue. And you expect that even though it was a packed room last night, these meetings will become more passionate, even more crowded. And as people mobilize, And again, I felt like yesterday was kind of a soft kind of opening when people, when we're publicizing these meetings more, hey, the mayor's going to have this meeting. You know, people are really going to kind of like come with their arguments and blazing and ready to go. And they did some to a certain extent last night. But the commanders certainly, I think, are prepared to answer these questions. I think the commanders are going to have their own presentation. I think that they would have probably hit the details of more than a stadium, more than the mayor did. I think the mayor referenced that, but was very short on, you know, specifics. I think the commanders probably, when you see them go public, will be very intentional about what they have to say about a stadium plus, and they're going to hit the plus really, really hard because they know what the arguments against are, and they know that the best way to counteract that is to, you know, give people the answer before they ask the question. And so, you know, I think the mayor, the commanders were well aware this meeting was going to happen. And I think they were monitoring it very closely to see what the temperature in the room was among those 500 people. And I think, you know, probably pleasantly surprised that it wasn't a wild, you know, pushback. I think it was more, you know, if I had to, you know, speak in broad brushes, I think the crowd very much was like, we have questions, we have concerns, but we're open to the idea. If you can assure us, how are you going to make sure our worst fears aren't realized when it comes to parking, environmental impacts, congestion?
I'm glad you mentioned the environmental thing, because I want to ask you this real quick before we let you go. There was a report or some reporting earlier in the week, or maybe it was late last week, that apparently some of the green initiatives or some of the climate-based laws were waived, provisions, I don't know what the right word is, were waived for the Capital One Arena construction project, which I'm sure heightens the stakes for this one. What do you know about what Ted Leonsis doesn't have to do to follow the rules that everyone else does on this and Capital One? And then how do you think that ultimately impacts how the RFK negotiations go down?
You know, I think, you know, I'm not an environmentalist. So I would say that, you know, from my knowledge, waiving environmental regulations happens more probably than we'd like to know in major projects. Developments, yeah. Projects like this. Older buildings often have, you know, issues with them, especially when you're tearing down walls. Things that we have to deal with that aren't necessarily deemed, you know, that aren't used today. And so often to mitigate price and to make things realistic moving forward, you have to, you know, that's why waivers exist, to say, hey, you know, we don't have bad intentions here, but there are some, you know, regulations we're not going to meet. And I think, you know, for RFK, and I've done some reporting on it as well, that building is absolutely filled with asbestos. And they have had, that's why it took so much longer than we ever really anticipated, because they have paused the work there at RFK a number of different times.
I think I saw the demolition is going to take like 22 months.
Yeah.
We don't get a fun stadium implosion deal. They're going to take it apart piece by piece.
They have already started. I've been told that the interior is gone. It's really just a shell right now. And it's too congested. One of the challenges of building a new stadium there's residential like right there, you know, there's a river on the other side. Like, we can't have one of those fun implosions. Yeah. But I think that the environmental issues there have been mitigated. What they will not have to deal with, and why they won't have to get exemptions, and they are very aware, I think the commanders are at least, of those environmental concerns, is that you're building a new building and there's no reason to waive environmental regulations with a new building. I think what we're dealing with at Capital One is you're dealing with an older building, and therefore you're kind of dealing with, you know, having to tear out walls and you know, deconstruct things that were built at a time long before our current environmental regulations kind of came into place.
Got it. So in some ways, it's the ability to keep some things in place that wouldn't pass code if they were new.
Yeah, I think
updating what you can.
It's for lack of a better term, I think, you know, Capital One likely got grandfathered in.
Gotcha.
Because of the age of the building.
Gotcha.
To get around some of those environmental regulations, but that wouldn't be an issue for a brand new structure like a football stadium.
Got it. All right. Eric Flack's got more on this. WUSA 9. You can check out their website. Obviously, you can watch him on television as well as the there'll be many more of meetings like this. I'm excited to see how
Love
these go.
And,
we're finally getting there.
We are getting there. It's starting to speed up.
We're getting closer. There's going to be a decision. I mean, do we think there's going to be a decision on the site in this calendar year? Like by the time.
Oh, yeah. The mayor's budget is due first couple days of April. So, I mean, money for the stadium is going to have to be included in the budget. So, really,
so we're going to know DC or Maryland by the end of the next. Oh my God, it's almost March already.
Yeah, 6 weeks. I think we got about 6 weeks from now.
Wow.
I mean, the budget will bleed out to council members, you know, before then, and you know, you would presume that the Commanders and Bowser would have a joint press conference to announce any deal. So, you know, I think we're looking at mid to late March, where if it's going to happen in D.C., the first announcement of an official agreement, you know, takes place.
Do you imagine like a Myles Garrett trade one day, and then you got a.
The Commanders will know better. They'll space out those news releases.
I don't know if Adam Peters is consulting the business side if he's trying to get Myles Garrett.
I guarantee you he's built. Yes, no. Of course they are. This is not the old.
The Browns are not going to cooperate with that. The Browns can't cooperate with themselves.
Right. But then they're going to put off the stadium announcement. I'm telling you.
That's possible.
No way the Commanders drop a stadium and Myles Garrett in the same news cycle. There's 0.0 chance. I owe you steak dinner if they do. Right here, right now on your show.
I either get multiple news cycles in a time of the year when I appreciate a good news cycle because there's not as much things naturally going on, or a steak dinner. I just won this interview.
Aaron
Flack, everybody, with us here on The Hoffman Show. All right, that's Eric with us. Again, we'll react to what he had to say about the RFK site and why the devil is in the details for all of this next on the Team 980.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.